Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Being physically active promotes good health, and that also goes for natives who are living with a disability. But is it as easy as wanting to be healthy for these natives? What challenges do tribal members with disabilities face when trying to live an active life? What's being done to make sure natives with disabilities have the support they need to be physically active on tribal ground? Get ready to call in with your thoughts on this health discussion right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Navajo farmers and ranchers are concerned about the impact the Gold King Mine waste spill is having on their crops and livestock. Last week's spill has made its way from Colorado to New Mexico, where many Navajo communities rely on the San Juan River. Sunny Clauchis Chilagi is a reporter with the Navajo Times. She attended a meeting Monday with farmers in Upper Fruitland near Farmington. I asked her what the impacts are not only economically, but culturally.
It's devastating, definitely the elder that were in the building, just because their appreciation and their view on how what water is to them, they know what it's like to not have access to water. They know what it's like to not have running water. They know what it's like to not have electricity. They've been here before, so they know how hard it can be. I didn't really see how hard that this was going to be until I went to that meeting last night and personally saw a lot of crops that were midway that just won't grow now. That's money for people. For a lot of people, that's their income and that's their only income. They sell their vegetables out on the side of the road.
What were people saying they want? What are their immediate needs and who's addressing that?
They want answers. People want to know exactly what it is that was released with that in that contamination. It's very ambiguous right now. There's not a lot of answers. There's some ideas of some certain chemicals and certain metals that are part of that contamination, but there's not everything. They don't know what they're facing. Some of them were asking, you know, do we need to get our livestock checked? Do we need to keep our livestock if they're contaminated? Do we need to keep them from other livestock? How is this going to affect people? If someone touched the water, is this going to affect someone else that they talk to or that they come in contact with? So as of right now, the only people addressing some of these issues and trying to find ways to get water to these people and to help them with some of the things that they need are the local chapter houses. The real impact of this is talking to the people that it's directly impacted. There's a possibility of them having to need that extra water for themselves. So it's becoming more about not just farming, not agriculture, not just animals. It's now becoming about them, because in the Navajo way of life, it's the plants and the animals first, and then it's us next. And that's exactly what's happening now.
That was reporter Sunny Clauchis Chilagi. A Native American financial expert was recently invited to attend a gathering of the Clinton Global Initiative. Jim Kent reports.
Four Bands Community Fund Executive Director Tanya Fiddler was one of three experts in rural economies who met with Bill Clinton at the 2015 Clinton Global Initiative America meeting in Denver, Colorado.
So what do you want these people to know about the key investment opportunities that you're trying to access? And how does your loan fund help to mitigate some of the risks that you have to be prepared for if you go into a new area that's a long way from other places?
Tanya Fiddler spent portions of the next 40 minutes answering former President Bill Clinton's questions about investment opportunities on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. Besides explaining that the Four Bands Community Fund has provided $10 million in loans on the reservation since 2008, Fiddler also noted that a key component has been investing in microloans for very small businesses. Fiddler says she was aware of various Native American initiatives and institutions that received support and pledges during the course of the Denver gathering.
So I feel like the Clinton Global Initiative really has kept its finger on the pulse of what's happening and trying to present the success stories and the innovations and challenge others to step up.
Tanya Fiddler adds that the strength of economic development in Indian country comes from the ground up. I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by Humboldt State University's part-time online Master of Social Work. The 3.5-year program focuses on decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted August 1st to 31st for a January start at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
KNBA and Recover Alaska are seeking inspiring stories of recovery from alcohol addiction. If you or someone you know would like to share a story of recovery as part of an upcoming online and on-air documentary video project, go to knba.org and click Tell Your Story.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. How many times have you heard the doctor tell you it's time you got more physically active? Some of us have taken these doctors' words to heart. Others are still trying to get over a time crunch and long for the moment that they can hop on the treadmill to burn some calories. Here's some of the benefits of being active. It reduces your risk of diabetes and heart disease. It also strengthens your muscles and bones. And lastly, physical activity can improve your mood and mental health, so says the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the CDC also reports that about half of more than 21 million adults in the U.S. with disabilities don't have physical activity and leisure time. So what is it that's preventing people living with a disability from being physically active? And are the challenges that these natives face different than the rest of the population in the U.S.? And are tribal communities stepping up to make sure people with disabilities have support and access to proper facilities to be physically active? Join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also send us a tweet too. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE as well. And joining us from Tuba City, Arizona is Lynette Gilmore. She's a physical therapist and director of the Physical Rehabilitation Department at the Tuba City Regional Healthcare Corporation. And she is Dene. Welcome to Native America Calling, Lynette.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show. I would just like to introduce myself in Diné language. Gat'e Lynette Gilmore Yunshe Nakai Diné Nshme Ezislana Bashishin Hashkahado Dashche Do Tohane Dashanela Akuta Akuta San Nshme Dahilinade ESC Nasha. And I'm currently living in Tuba City working at the hospital here.
Well, Lynette, it is our pleasure for having you with us today. And thank you for, you know, sharing some of that beautiful language with us on our airwaves. And Lynette, I'd like to start off with a short list of the kinds of disabilities that you deal with or are helping people with. What kind of conditions are limiting physical activity?
Well, there's a lot of various conditions. The topic disability, there's various ways one can be disabled. First, it is caused by a limitation. This limitation could be from a injury, or somebody could be born with a limitation, such, diseases or diagnoses that somebody could be born with is cerebral palsy, spina bifida, autism. Those are some of the physical and cognitive diagnoses that could occur. Someone can also be disabled with the limitation if, let's say, they had a surgery. So if they're limited in strength or range of motion, then they would have a disability because they are not able to probably walk properly. So those are just a few of them. There's a lot of various diagnoses that one could possibly disable from.
And Lynette, you know, as we think about, you know, folks who are living with a disability, you know, what kind of challenges do they face in being physically active?
Well, again, being disabled and limitations, one could be disabled for a short period of time, and one may be disabled for their lifetime. So in the shortened time, let's say someone's recovering from a surgery, if they're limited from gait and they have to use crutches or a walker, then they won't have a normal mobility as somebody who could, let's say, have balance or who could walk properly. Another scenario, you know, people with cerebral palsy or spinal cord injury, they would have to go through the process of obtaining the proper equipment to use in order to be mobile. Such things are wheelchairs. Some might be able to transfer with the slide board. Some might be able to do a stand pivot, you know, by transferring with some assistance using a walker. So some of those things that assist people with some disabilities are required. And if some of those equipment aren't available or hard to obtain, then it makes it a little bit more difficult for them.
All right. Thanks for that, Lynette. And we're going to continue keeping our phone lines open today. Maybe you are a person living with a disability. You know, what are your favorite physical activities to do? What really gets your heart pumping? And are you involved in adaptive sports? Call us right now. Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. You can also reach out to us on Facebook or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and hear a comment from Facebook. Shandine wrote to us, who has scoliosis. She said, living with a disability, I need to exercise because it relieves pain more than medication. The only challenge I face is laziness. I train my brain to enjoy the feeling of exercise. And Lynette, as a physical therapist, how does it make you feel to hear a comment like that coming from Shandine?
Oh, it makes me feel wonderful. Yes, the laziness is hard to overcome. That's why we're here as physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech-language pathologists. We're here to help guide the individual in proper exercises to help address such things as pain. You know, therapy can be a source of pain management versus medication. It can also assist with alleviating possible contractures, where, you know, the muscle is in a shortened stage, so it makes it a little bit harder for some people to have proper mobility. So the bottom line, I believe, is independence and to be more functional. So, you know, having pain, chronic pain, scoliosis, the stretching, the strengthening, the mobility, the movement within the joints, having the good circulation is very important. So it makes me happy, very happy that she's doing some of the physical activity and exercises for herself.
Thank you. And if you'd also like to add to the conversation, call us at 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and add another voice. On the line today from Washington, D.C. is Joseph Ray. He's an independent living specialist regarding people with disabilities, and he's on the Disability Subcommittee of the National Congress of American Indians. And Joseph is Laguna Pueblo, Zuni, and Maido. Welcome to the hour, Joseph.
Kwatse Hupa. Good morning, Tara. This is Joseph Ray from Laguna Pueblo with Zuni Heritage and Maido. My grandmother came from California many, many years ago to New Mexico. I'm also Eagle Clan and Corn Clan, so, you know, so hello to all my relatives out there.
Thanks for that, Joseph. And Joseph, anything you want to kick us off with as to why you think it's important with people who are living with a disability to be physically active?
Number one reason is to be able to maintain at whatever person's level of independence. I was taught when I became injured, I acquired my disability in a car accident almost 30 years ago. I have a T11 complete spinal cord injury, so I am a wheelchair user. Confined to my wheelchair. Thankfully, I'm able to transfer quite easily and move about. I, again, do a lot of different sports. So again, maintaining your strength at whatever level you're able is really why I participate in sports, because maintaining my strength allows me to be independent in my own life. I'm able to provide my own daily care. I'm not in need of a nurse for any assistance daily. Again, I am completely disabled, but because I have that, I'm fortunate to have that injury or that level of injury, and it allows me to maintain my upper body strength and again, be independent in my lifetime, in my life.
And Joseph, what do you think about, what we read about coming from the CDC of it also helps, keep your mind, active and healthy. What do you think about that?
That's very true. The other factor initially for people with disabilities and their mindset is acceptance of that disability. And when a person like myself, when I found out that there were sports programs for people with disabilities out there in the community, it gave me hope, I guess you could say, hope that I would be able to. Well, I really didn't know initially, because when you acquire your disability, it's a whole different lifestyle that you have to learn. So I was, always being active at Laguna Pueblo, I was thankful that there were there was a wheelchair basketball program in Albuquerque at that time.
I want to get back to traveling the distance to be physically active, Joseph. Again, I want to go ahead and remind folks that our phone lines are open. And if you'd like to join us, please do. The phone number is 1-800-996-2848. And when it does come to inclusiveness and support for people with disabilities, what does your Native community offer? Also, what's lacking? You can call in and share your thoughts with us, 1-800-996-2848. Lynette, I also wanted to get your take on, being physically active, also helping, your mind or just even connecting your daily life to your physical activity.
Yes, so physical activity in general, it helps everybody in a positive way. And, when somebody acquires a spinal cord injury or any type of injury, there is a sense of some depression. You're not as happy. Pain is there. Not being able to do things that you're able to do before. So, yes, acceptance is very important. Also, with that, the physical activity assists with, confidence, your mood. It also helps with better sleeping. People who have various disabilities often don't have the normal cycles as, what would be considered normal. So having the exercise really does assist in the mental state. so I believe that is very, very important. And it also goes along the lines of motivation, having that independence. So when you're independent and you achieve something, when anybody achieves anything or is able to do something, then it's a really great feeling. So it's very important for everybody to be physically active, and it really does have a lot of positive benefits, whether it's physical or mental.
All right. Thanks for that, Lynette. Let's go ahead and take a call. We have Josh in Zuni, New Mexico. He's connecting to us today on KSHI. Josh, welcome to the hour.
Thank you.
Thank you. And what's on your mind today, Josh?
Well, I do have a spinal cord injury. I've had it for 4 years. And I was active before my injury. And I'm trying my best to stay active after my injury, because I don't want to be gaining weight or just being lazy, because there is a lot of things that go along with having a spinal cord injury besides not being able to walk. But I think it's important to me that I do stay active.
All right. And Josh, you know, I want to commend you for, you know, just understanding the importance, you know, that it is that there is, you know, to stay physically active. And Joseph, just hearing from our caller, Josh, you know, I think he has already, you know, overcome a huge hurdle of just understanding, you know, this is important. I got to keep up with this. Joseph, anything you want to add to our caller, Josh?
Well, I just want to thank Josh for calling. Again, it's good to hear someone from back home. You know, Josh, as you progress with your disability, you're going to find all these different adaptive sports and methods that you can achieve to participating. But, you know, what I always have done is just to stay active. It's just pushing my chair up and down the road. And sometimes, you know, you get into a dangerous spot where, you know, there's no not much curb. But, again, I know at Zuni they have that, a couple of good trails that you could push your chair on. And so that's what I've always done to maintain my strength. And at whatever level of ability you have, I encourage people with disabilities to just try. And as Lynette said, it really helps with your self-esteem, and to be able to go out there in the world, to go back to work, go to school, and all those good things that people do. And so that was my comment.
All right. Again, Josh, thanks for your call there in Zuni, New Mexico. And phone lines are open. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number. That's also our Twitter handle if you want to send us a tweet. And Joseph, you know, our caller Josh also, you know, brings up a good point of, you know, his life changed. You know, he said he went from being, you know, active before his injury, and then he has to learn, you know, a new life way. I understand that can also be, you know, a big challenge. And Joseph, anything you want to add about, you know, just understanding, you know, it's finding a new way to live?
Well, many of our Native brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandparents, they live in all different settings, rural settings, where, you know, they can do what they did, try and get back to what they did before they acquired their disability. And for our people born with disabilities, you know, that we all have to work together to work with our tribal leaders to educate them about the possibilities of disabled sports and adaptive sports for their tribal members. Because, again, you know, living in the rural communities that we live in, you know, we don't have sidewalks, we don't have pavement. As I mentioned, at Zuni, I know they have a good bike trail, and at Laguna, actually, we're working on trails too that are all inclusive. And but again, having the infrastructure for people with all different levels of ability to be able to go out and just push your wheelchair in a safe manner. As I mentioned, I've often taken safety, putting my life at risk being out there on the highway, but anything to maintain that strength level, I guess you could say, I would do to, it's real important, especially out in the Indian country. We don't have a lot, so we just make do with what we have.
And Joseph, what about holding our tribes, you know, accountable? Often, you know, we hear about, you know, gyms going up in our community. But you know, is our administrations or is the planning inclusive for people with disabilities?
You know, we have the vocational rehabilitation programs throughout the country, and they if I recall, there's only 78 programs in Indian country. But partnering with service providers it's really key for me to get my message across to tribal leadership. Because again, tribal leaders, you know, they have their plates full, but when they hear it from their department or their department heads, then they take notice of the fact that people are in need of those services. So again, it's an ongoing fight because, you know, there's so many issues in Indian country, but healthcare is, you know, one of the top ones. And having good planning and for, as you said, being all inclusive of people with disabilities in that thought process is real key. So that's really disability advocates' job to make sure that the leadership is hearing our message.
All right. Thanks for that, Joseph. And Lynette, anything to add about making sure that our tribes, you know, are considering, you know, our tribal members who are living with a disability and their access to being physically active? Lynette, anything to add?
Yes, there is a huge need, not only for infrastructure, but as Joseph stated, being in a rural area, it is very difficult because you don't have the paved roads. There's a lot of dirt roads, and with that, if there's dirt roads and you have to consider the weather, if it's monsoon season or if it's winter, it makes it a little bit difficult, I think, for everybody, but more so people who have disabilities to really go outside to exercise. In addition to that, you know, the infrastructure, the distance that somebody has to travel, the transportation, if they have transportation, the financial needs, any home modifications. And, you know, Joseph indicated that he's pretty functional and independent, but some people might not be as independent as he. So there might have to have some caregivers or family support. And basically, you know, a little bit more awareness about the disabilities that people are living with, I think would really impact the positive change in what is really needed on a lot of the reservations. You know, there's the Special Olympics, there's adaptive sports, but it kind of seems that there's not as much accessibility for that on a lot of communities within the reservations, especially if they're rural. So I think that's a huge area that could possibly be improved upon, and something definitely for the tribes and leaders to come together to provide opportunity for people to have that support and to be a little bit more aware of things that could help a lot of people with disabilities, whether they're in, you know, using wheelchairs or not using wheelchairs, but for everybody.
Right. Thanks for that, Lynette. And Joseph, I also understand there have been times where you've had to travel 100 miles to play your adaptive sports sport, which, by the way, is basketball. He's a basketball player. And, you know, we're going to continue with this conversation and also a bit more about, you know, how do we get ready to play some of these adaptive sports? We'll be back after the break, but our phone lines are going to remain open. We want to hear from you, and we will be right back. This month, Native Blues will ricochet out of Studio 49 as Mark Brown and the Blues Crew take to our native airwaves. Here's a taste of what's to come. Join us for Native America Calling's August Music Maker.
Ready, one, two, three, and four. Let's try to shut.
The Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma features Choctaw-made merchandise online at ChoctawStore.com. You can own a piece of Choctaw culture delivered to your door, whether it's the works of Choctaw artists, unique apparel, accessories for your home or office, music, videos, and books, including the Choctaw language books. You can find it at ChoctawStore.com. Labor Day delivery available for orders placed on ChoctawStore.com by August 30th. ChoctawStore.com is proud to support Native Voice One.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And if you didn't know, you can listen to Native America Calling on Native Voice One's live stream at nv1.org. And you can also listen to past shows from our archives at nativeamericacalling.com. And today we are talking about the benefits of being physically active while living with a disability. And we're also finding out why exercise is also good for those who have limited physical abilities. And if there's something you would like to add to this conversation, all you have to do is give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. And we also want to hear from you and what you are experiencing in your Native community. Do you feel Alaska Native or American Indian tribes are being inclusive and supportive when it comes to people with disabilities wanting to be physically active? Again, you can join our conversation by calling in. Our number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And let's go ahead and take a call. We got Jason in Durango, Colorado. He's connecting to us today online. Jason, thank you for your call. And what would you like to tell folks?
Hi, Dara. I just wanted to call in today as a parent of a child with a disability. My son Noah was injured in a car accident in 2009 and became a T11 paraplegic. And I can't overstate to the other parents out there and just other individuals with disabilities how important remaining physically active has been to Noah and to our family in general, because as he develops his level of independence, it takes off some of the incredible burden that, you know, families that experience disabilities, you know, what we go through. It's financially difficult, and it's physically and sometimes mentally very difficult. But we were very fortunate to have, you know, the Adaptive Sports Association here in Durango, and then just kind of our own stubbornness that pushed us to try everything. And Noah has just been an incredible kid. And I think what we've found throughout Indian country has been, you know, very difficult access to resources, access to opportunities. And earlier this year, Billy Mills agreed to help support Noah's outreach to Native America. And he'll be conducting a camp with other people in Gallup, New Mexico at the Rehoboth Christian School this Saturday from 12:30 to 6:30, and we just encourage people in the community to come out. We'll also be having a coaches clinic there for people who are interested in helping coach and train adaptive athletes. Our understanding of what we're trying to do is really to create a network similar to the Healthy Active Natives Network, but specifically for people with disabilities, a forum for them to reach out, talk to each other, discuss obstacles, and find solutions to some of the obstacles that they face.
Jason, that sounds great. And you know what? Let's go ahead and meet Noah. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. He's also joining us from Durango, Colorado. Full name, Noah Blue Elk Hotchkiss, and he is a Native American ambassador for Disabled Sports USA, and he is Southern Ute, Southern Cheyenne, and Caddo. And as his father, Jason, has just said, he is also an athlete. And Noah, good to meet you, or have you back on our line. Thank you for being with us.
Mike Doyok. Thank you for having me. What was the question?
Actually, no, we just want to meet you. Your dad just told us a bunch of great things that you're involved with. Also how you're inspiring and connecting natives, you know, across the nation. I think that's really important, you know, especially with what we're hearing today, that sometimes just even, you know, finding support in our community is a little bit challenging. And Noah, what would you like our listeners to know about why being physically active is important for a person living with a disability?
Well, one of the big reasons why it's important to be active in your everyday life is kind of what you guys have been talking about on the air. It's just your mental game. It really, once you start doing stuff and it starts getting you in the mindset that you can do other things and you're not limited by the chair or whatever disability you have, you can do stuff. It's going to be different. It's going to be a challenge at first, but it just, for me, adaptive sports and just doing other sports have brought me to the realization that I can do things. And this chair isn't really a boundary anymore. It's part of my life. And I just want people to know that once you get out there and you start doing stuff in your everyday life, it's going to be hard at first, but if you keep doing it and you keep getting in the mindset that you can do it and you can get better, your daily life's going to improve and your mental game's going to improve.
And Noah, tell me a little bit more about, you know, bringing these kind of events to Native communities. Why has it been important for you?
So it's been really important for me to bring these kinds of things and events to Native American reservations and all that, because just how we were talking about, the opportunities for adaptive athletes to go play basketball or something like that is not huge on reservations. And so I really want to bring those opportunities to the reservation and really build a strong community around that, so then people won't have to drive 100 miles or 200 miles just to go play basketball for a little bit. I want that to be centralized in the reservation so that people don't have to do that. And I feel like we'll have the community support and just we'll also have the people to do that. And so that's what I kind of really want to bring over to the reservation.
That's great. And Noah, are there any more details that you also want to share about the camp that's going on this weekend?
So I'll be having a camp on August 15th in Gallup, New Mexico. And I just wanted to add that it's going to be for anyone with a disability, mental or physical, you can come. We're also, just like Dad was saying, going to host a coaches camp. And it's going to be at the Rojo Bus Christian School, and it's going to be in the Keith Cooper Gym on August 15th.
All right.
So who wants to come down, it's free to go to, and we're really just wanting to find a strong community and build a strong group out of that. So whenever we do this again and again, we're going to get more and more people each time.
All right, thanks for that, Noah. And Jason, I also do appreciate your call. Jason, is there a phone number you'd also like to share if folks want to connect with you?
Sure. If they want to contact us, the email is noah@asadurango.com, and the phone number is 970-306-9951. And we're also encouraging people to, if they use Facebook, to go to the Tribal Adaptive Organization page and like that, and then they'll be getting all the updates of what he's doing.
Right, great. Well, that's also a good hub to connect with folks too. Jason, thank you for your call. And Noah's going to hang out with us for the rest of the hour. If you'd like to chat with Noah, you can give us a call. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And maybe you're a family member, a friend, or a caregiver of a person with a disability. You know, what kind of physical activities do you assist with? and how are they beneficial to your loved one? You can call in too. Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And also on the line with us today, we have Lynette Gilmore. She is a physical therapist and also a director of the Physical Rehabilitation Department at the Tuba City Regional Healthcare Corporation. And also on the line from Washington, D.C. is Joseph Ray. He's an independent living specialist regarding people with disabilities, and he is also on the Disability Subcommittee of the National Congress of American Indians. And he comes to us from Laguna, Pueblo, Zuni Nation, and Maidu Nation. Our pleasure to have Joseph here with us, too. And, you know, when we talk about getting ready or getting to that point where, you know, you can join an adaptive sport, Lynette, you're a physical therapist. You know, what kind of advice do you have, you know, to get your body ready where, you know, you are ready to hop into some adaptive sports?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, there's a big preparation for, you know, more of the physical activity. As Joseph and Noah were talking about, you know, you do want to get to that point where you do have more of the functional capabilities to perform the sport that you want to do. However, what becomes before that is, you know, as we were talking with spinal cord injuries, you do need the wheelchair. There's various types of wheelchairs. There's power wheelchairs. There's manual wheelchairs. And the manual wheelchairs, there's a lot of different types, and it's almost like having your own vehicle. You have to take care of your vehicle, and with adaptive sports, you know, such as wheelchair basketball, the wheelchairs do need to be maintained. So a lot of the people who use wheelchairs for the sport do have to go through the process of obtaining a wheelchair, which is quite lengthy, because with that, it, you know, it goes along the lines of getting a prescription from the doctor and going through a company to obtain that. And once you're in the working with the company, then you have to make sure that the wheelchair does fit you and any adjustments that need to be made, in addition to any of the cushions that need to be used. So, you know, even with the prosthetics and orthotics, there's orthotists, there's prosthetists who assist in devising and making these custom orthotics and braces. And from there, again, it's maintenance and replacements. So there's a lot that goes into it beforehand. So I would highly recommend patience in the process in obtaining any of the equipment that somebody might need for their sport.
And Noah, what do you like to tell people about, you know, getting ready to, you know, get more physical or maybe even take on an adaptive sport?
So, just like you were saying a couple of seconds ago, it does, you do have to have certain equipment to play these sports, and I highly recommend that you get that, and patience is key with that. So, yeah, for like if you wanted to, if you had a spinal cord injury or something like that, you would need a basketball chair to go play college basketball or something. You could do it in your everyday chair, but it's not as fun. And so, like, just, it is a lengthy process, but it's worth it. And a lot of foundations out there are willing to help you speed up that process. Foundations such as the Challenged Athletes Foundation, Kelly Brush Foundation, DSUSA, Athletes Helping Athletes, those guys will help you get chairs so you can come play adaptive sports. And I also have adaptive equipment, extra adaptive equipment for people if it comes down to it. But yeah, it's just getting the stuff you need to play. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Noah. And Joseph Ray, any tips? You know, you're a basketball player. Let's take it straight to the court. What kind of advice do you have?
I have to correct you. I'm a former basketball player.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But you know what? Once a player, always a player.
Let me just explain real quick. You know, again, the resources to find the equipment, they're limited. They're out there, but you know, a sport chair, a basketball chair is a couple thousand dollars, and you know, a hand cycle, which is, you know, adaptive bicycling, costs a couple thousand dollars. So it can be quite expensive, Tara. But you know, just pushing your everyday chair just to build up, as Lynette was alluding to, and as you were talking about previously, getting prepared for to participate. Use what you have. Use equipment that you already have, and then if you're able to build up to Noah's level, I want to add something. Noah's horn. Noah is the number one ranked junior snow skier in the United States, and so you know that just goes to show with the mindset what can be achieved. But again, use whatever equipment you have on hand, and then if you're able to build up to a level where you need that specialized equipment, then by all means. Go for it. So that's my comment.
All right. And Noah, while we are talking about, you know, the younger generations in Native America who are living with a disability, any advice you have for them?
Ooh.
About being physically active, I guess.
Yeah, so my advice would be kind of just as we were talking about was just push yourself around and start doing stuff. If you could have people that will help you do these things, like friends, family, it makes it a lot funner and easier to do these sports. And for the youth, it's the same thing. If you have friends that are willing to help you, come to the gym with you, help you work out, or come play basketball with you, and just have people doing stuff with you. It really helps you push yourself and helps the people around you kind of get an idea of what you're going through and how you're going to be able to overcome this.
All right, thanks for that, Noah. And Lynette, anything to add for our younger populations in Native America who are living with a disability and them getting active?
Yes, as we talked about a lot of motivation and, you know, simply just, I guess, doing it, as Noah said, the more you're able to practice, the easier it will become. And in addition to obtaining the proper equipment, as Joseph indicated, yes, use your equipment that you have at the moment. And yes, there's a lot of finance that goes towards those equipment because they're quite expensive. But I think it's very good that Noah had indicated some of the resources that are out there to assist somebody to purchase some of these equipment if they have the desire to continue in the sport. In addition to that, I also think it's very important to learn how to use those equipment. If this is a new disability, then yes, it'll be something, you know, that you'd have to overcome and to learn. So I think providing a lot of the encouragement, you know, like the Tribal Adaptive Sports Facebook page that Noah has, him speaking about the foundations and Joseph speaking about, you know, just some techniques on, you know, the process and what his recommendations are. I think the conversation is definitely needed, and a lot of people, I believe, just kind of do trial and error. But with the Healthy Active Natives, I believe that helped a lot of people. So I really hope that the Facebook for the Tribal Adaptive Sports will really take off. And so there'll be more of a support system and a stronger foundation from there. So I would just, you know, I think it just all comes from the person and the initiative. And yes, the family and the care providers are very important in assisting the person as much as they can and to assist everybody to attain a little bit more of the functionality. We're always leaning towards independence. you know, and the motivation and the self-esteem and just to have a really, really good quality of life and doing what you enjoy doing.
And Lynette, what about, you know, physical therapy? You know, sometimes it can get really challenging. You know, I've even heard from, you know, folks that, you know, it kind of hurts. You know, what do you do to keep motivated, you know, to push through all of that?
Yeah. So, you know, with the various types of disability, there's a lot of, there's a lot of ways to approach that. And yes, there is pain. So I'll make this small joke right now. My dad calls PT physical terrorists. So, yeah, you know, sometimes there's that fear of pain. However, in therapy, you know, we don't want to hurt people, obviously, but we do have to do some technique sometime to assist the person to come over whatever the ailment is. And in addition to it, not only for therapy, you know, I mean, if you have some spasticity or muscle contracture and you try to stretch it, there is a proper way of doing that and a not so proper way of doing that. And I'm pretty sure if we're all sore at one time after we've exercised and if we, you know, push it a little bit more, yeah, it's very uncomfortable, but we know how to gauge that stretch, for example. The other thing I'll mention is some medication. So sometimes people have to use medication because of the spasticity and the tightness in the legs or the arms or whichever section of the body is affected. The other thing that sometimes occurs are, you know, some surgeries. You know, I think that surgery is probably at the bottom of the list of what anybody wants to do or go through. However, if it's something that's crucial or needed and that will assist in improving a mobility for some reason, then yeah, you know, that's something, elective surgery, or maybe it's not elective. So, you know, I think going through the process can be strenuous. It can be frustrating. But, you know, when somebody occurs, you know, an accident occurs, or if they acquire an injury, or if your family member is born with a disability, I think it's very important for the family, the individual, to be an advocate for themselves. A lot of the time, sometimes we don't know what to say or questions to ask. So it's always really good to write down any questions that you have. And that way, your time spent with the doctor or the physical therapist or nutritionist, whoever you go to, you'll have a little bit more conversation with them to obtain more of the knowledge that you'll need. So I would say be an advocate for yourself, advocate for your family member or your friend if you're involved in assisting that person.
That's great advice, Lynette. And finally, we had a caller from Kotzebue call in who shared that she had a back injury that's preventing her from moving altogether. Lynette, any advice for folks, you know, who are facing that? And, you know, what does physical therapy look like, or a physical therapy path look like for them? Lynette?
Yeah, so it's very difficult to say because I'll take a few steps back. So when somebody has an injury or back pain or knee pain, there's a lot of things that could be going on because there's a lot of different structures in our body. It could be, let's say, mechanical. It could be something having to do with the bone itself or the joint itself. Or it could be something to do with the muscles, the soft tissues, such as the ligaments, the tendons. So, you know, when somebody presents and figures out that I am a physical therapist, or some of us are approached by various people and they say, what do you think I can do for my back pain or my knee pain? And I can't really, you know, diagnose. So the best thing to do is to see a physician. Some physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy places, they require a referral from a physician. Sometimes they don't. It depends on the state because each state has different rules. So once the person sees the therapist, from there they go through an evaluation, let's say for the back pain. So they will go through the back pain evaluation. And so if they see physical therapy, they would have an evaluation for that. And from there, on the evaluation, it'll determine the plan of care and what exercises they might need, or even if they need exercise at all. Maybe they need assistance with the strengthening. Maybe they need assistance with posture. Maybe it's an overuse injury. Maybe they need a manual therapy. So a lot of those things are determined with evaluation. So I would highly recommend getting evaluated by a provider.
Yeah, that's good advice. And, you know, just to echo that, you know, our different conversations that we have about health are to understand more, but definitely you want to check with your own service provider. And thanks for that, Lynette. And Joseph, we have just a couple of minutes. Is there any contact information you'd like to put out there for folks who also want to, you know, bring their voice, maybe even to NCAI? Joseph, any contacts you'd like to put out there?
Sure. My phone number is 505-267-1817. And then the website for NCAI, the address is ncai.org to write any messages that might need to be sent for that level. I'm the chair of the Disability Subcommittee. And whenever we travel to the different regions that NCAI has to conferences, you know, I'm thrilled to meet other individuals. So, you know, that's the forum I have. And it was great to hear that we had a caller from Alaska. I was hoping for that. And I wish her well and her pain management. I hope she's able to come back to be able to participate. But for right now, just, you know, know that you have people out there pulling for you, and hopefully whatever exercise you can do, please do it.
All right. Great words. Joseph Ray, thank you for being with us. Also, Lynette Gilmore and Noah Blue Alkochkis, thank you for joining us today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. We will be back again tomorrow.
Support for this program comes from KeyBank's Native American Financial Services team, focused exclusively on serving the full financial services needs of Native American nations for more than 50 years. KeyBank is member FDIC. This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov. Support by Humboldt State University's part-time online Master of Social Work. The 3.5-year program focuses on decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted August 1st to 31st for a January start at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.